News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A tough day in the courts for President Trump's executive orders. A federal judge in New Hampshire has blocked a series of directives from the Education Department, including a memo ordering an end to any practice that differentiates people based on their race. Judges in Maryland and Washington, D.C. also stopped portions of the Education Department's anti-DEI efforts. One of the lawsuits was brought by the National Education Association and the ACLU. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
At this point, it's saying don't let this executive order go into effect. And I think what it's really saying is do not stop any funding based on schools' alleged noncompliance with DEI programs.
More than 170 lawsuits have been filed over the president's executive orders, but he's still signing them. One today involves critical minerals. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The executive order is meant to restore American dominance in offshore critical minerals and resources. Specifically, it would boost production of nickel, copper, and cobalt. The order says this would help create 100,000 jobs in the U.S. and bring in an estimated $300 billion. A separate executive order directs federal agencies that they do not have to hire probationary workers as full-time employees after their probationary periods end. This comes amid efforts by the Department of Government Efficiency to cut costs. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
Kyiv's mayor says Friday is an official day of mourning in the Ukrainian capital after Russia's attack that has killed at least 12 people and injured more than 100. CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon.
But if anything, it's a testament to Ukraine's defenses that it wasn't worse. But it hasn't stalled talks. If anything, it maybe cranked up the urgency of trying to cut a deal. But this is really right out of Putin's playbook, showing the world and especially the people of Ukraine that he has the upper hand and weakened Ukraine's hand at the negotiating table.
And President Trump, who blasted Russia's president on social media for the attack, also says peace in Ukraine is still possible. A judge has ruled that prosecutors can pursue the death penalty if a suspect in the 2022 murders of four University of Idaho students is convicted at trial in August. The judge is allowing it as an option, despite Brian Koberger's recent autism diagnosis. Life in prison without parole is the sentence for the suburban Chicago man who admitted killing seven people and injuring dozens more at a 2022 July 4th parade. Liz Turnipseed was shot while attending the parade with her husband and daughter.
While I don't have closure, it's closing a chapter. I don't have to think about him anymore. I don't have to worry about him anymore.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
The NFL Draft is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the draft is going on just outside Lambeau Field. 5 years ago, the Packers selected quarterback Jordan Love out of Utah State in the first round. What was it like getting the call from Green Bay?
You know, it was a total shock. I think going into that year, we had a pretty good feel of what teams were looking to draft quarterbacks. And, you know, once some of those guys with Joe Burrow and Tua and Justin Herbert were taken by some of those teams, it was kind of up in the air, like who might be taking a quarterback next. So, you know, I had to play the sit and wait game for a little bit, and we got down to 26. And I definitely had no idea about the Green Bay Packers. I don't think anybody realized they're going to take a quarterback with having A-Rod still there. But so it was definitely a shock to me, but it was great news.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Giants 6-5. The road trip continues tomorrow night against the Cardinals in St. Louis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you were a fan of Malcolm in the Middle, you'll want to hear this. The 25th anniversary reboot of the show is currently in production in Vancouver. Deadline reports that the Fox show, which first dropped in 2000, will air four new episodes on Disney+. Bryan Cranston, Jane Kaczmarek, and Frankie Muniz will all revise their roles. The original Malcolm produced 151 episodes over seven seasons. Speaking of Frankie Muniz, if you're wondering what the 39-year-old actor has been up to, the answer is racing. Muniz launched a career as a full-time NASCAR driver just recently. He was not happy with his finish in a recent race on April 18th where his power steering line burst and he injured his hand while compensating. Muniz was also involved in an accident during a race in Bristol, Tennessee in early April. Sounds like I could beat him with my Honda. The actor says if he had to choose between acting or racing, he would choose racing. If things keep going the way they're going, they will be looking for a new middle child on Malcolm. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers for tonight, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, rain around, tapering in the afternoon, mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Saturday, highs in the low 60s. Then a couple of showers around again on Sunday, mid-60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson, new Wisco Weekend host Lisa Hale, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Earths Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dagat. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, I took a shower and washed my hair, and I'm going to be heading over to Moon Palace Books right after the show here at 6 o'clock, and we'll be talking about this newly released book, Medicine River, written by Marionette Pember, and Mary herself will be there getting questions by the audience, and I'll be facilitating that.
Ooh, that sounds fun. And that's at 6 today at Moon Palace Books.
Right. And it's a World Book Day today. So that's an awesome, yesterday was.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about, you went to the Minnesota 2025 Minnesota Book Awards ceremony earlier this week. We were talking about Kathy Coates is banished the Secret Society or the Ho-Chunk removal in Minnesota.
Right.
And then who else won? We were talking about
Anton won Troyer, and he's a Peach Lake or White Earth, and he's a professor up there in the deep north. I got to say hello to him and shake his hand afterwards. And in that book was The Culture Toolbox, traditional Ojibwe living in the modern world, everything you wanted to know about Indians, but were afraid to ask. And that was in the young people's kind of teenage category.
Yeah. Well, I think the one that he won for was Where Wolves Don't Die. And his other work that he's known for is The Cultural Toolbox. And the other book that he's known for is Everything You Wanted to Know About Indians, but Were Afraid to Ask.
Oh, yeah. I do have that book, too. And definitely. And it was a festive night, and our friend from the Four Sisters Market was not there, but she won too.
Marcy Rendon.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations. All of the authors that won awards this year's Minnesota Book Awards. That's awesome. A lot of Native representation.
So we have Wendy on later, and then we have Robert Lilligren. But, you know, why don't we lead off here, if we can, with the governor of Wisconsin with his weekly report, and then we can maybe comment on it, and hopefully Robert will be by then.
Sounds good. This is Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Happy Earth Week, protecting our natural resources, cleaning up our lands, waters, and air, and leaving Wisconsin and our world better than we found them, are part of our state's proud heritage and tradition. As governor, I am proud that we're continuing to build upon this important work and history. Since I signed an executive order to take the Trillion Tree Pledge, Wisconsin has planted more than 42 million trees, with over 10 million trees planted in 2024 alone. That means we're almost halfway towards our goal. We also have to continue investing and protecting our land and water resources and expanding Wisconsin's clean energy economy so we can leave our kids and grandkids with a better world than the one we inherited. My budget plan reauthorizes the successful Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program for another decade at the highest level ever to protect our green spaces, parks, and trails. We're also investing in ensuring folks have clean, safe water. Want to get the lead out of our drinking water for good? Help private well owners fix or replace their contaminated wells and protect kids, families, and farmers from PFAS contamination. I also recognize that farmers are some of our most ardent stewards of our land and water. So my budget also invests in their efforts to keep our land and water clean through our producer-led watershed protection grant program. My budget also works towards building a new future in Wisconsin for renewable energy and helps homeowners make home efficiency upgrades to lower out-of-pocket costs. I encourage you to join me in celebrating Earth Week this week. Pick up trash in your local neighborhood or park, fix a leak at home, weatherize your windows, cut down on food waste, plant a native plant or tree, recycle your old electronics. It's going to take all of us working together to make sure to leave our communities, state, and planet better than we found them. Happy Earth Day and Arbor Day, Wisconsin. Let's make it happen. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, thank you, Governor Tony Evers of the great state of Wisconsin. That was great talking about, some things that are happening in Wisconsin and Earth Day and all those great things. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren here on, and as we love to do on Thursdays, and Robert is the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis and the president. Don't forget the president. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Haley. It's always good to be here.
Right on. Great to see you. A lot happening on the avenue. There's openings. There's, there's fashion shows. There's a lot happening and good things happening here in the native community here of the Twin Cities, especially.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. Are y'all going to the fashion show tomorrow night?
No, I'm going to the Native American Community Clinic's opening. They're having to that. Get a little gold shovel and maybe I can steal one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're groundbreaking, right?
Yes. Yeah.
For some reason, that's not on my calendar, but I want to be there. So, maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll swing by. And then Haley was talking to me earlier, Haley, about maybe can swing by the fashion show when they have their party going on at 9:30.
Oh, yeah. There was an after party.
After party.
Yeah. That's always a little more swank. And then... there'll be a big NACTI delegation there. We help sponsor the fashion event, and so we'll have a couple tables, so you'll see a lot of familiar faces.
Excellent. Yeah, and there's the fashion show and marketplace there that Haley has up. So that's exciting, but there's a lot always going on in the avenue. You guys got a new event coming up, and also, we don't really talk about it a lot, but Powwow Grounds is really a meet and greet place where I always go and run into if I'm there for a half hour, I run into half a dozen people I know.
Oh, for sure. And so folks who aren't familiar with the area, NACTI is located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, Franklin Avenue, East Franklin. Our building houses All My Relations Arts Gallery, and also houses Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop. And you're right, Bob. It is sort of one of the places to meet and greet. Our building is tiny, right? It's tiny.
Yeah.
But it has a big profile. And with Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop and the owner, Bob Rice, our offices have windows into the coffee shop. And so when sometimes I'll be thinking, I really need to talk to this person, or I need to connect with so-and-so from the community. I look out in the coffee shop and sure enough, they're there. Right. So I can do a little business real quick.
Well, I always like, too, the old saying, I'm from the years of bar business when I was younger, and it's crowds attract crowds. You might have, people, if it was twice as big, it would seem like nothing's happening with 20 people right in there. But when it's small like that, it's really happening.
Agree. And now Bob Rice, the owner of Powwow Grounds, has his food truck, as you know, you're very well aware. And so if he doesn't have a gig someplace else, he parks it right there in front of the coffee shop. And man, it's crowded all day long.
Yeah.
So that's why I have lunch today.
Wow. Yeah. And I swing by there too, definitely. And when it's nice out, they got tables and everything out there. And again, that's another place to run into a lot of people.
Hear, hear.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligan. We're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio and produced by Haley Cherry. Oh,
stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Mocoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NEI.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back. And we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and just a lot going on. I have always liked over the years talking to you, Robert, about local and national politics. We have a lot going on locally and nationally. Let's talk a little bit what's happening, especially in your area with the elections that are coming up, and we're in another cycle.
Yeah, so we're in a municipal election cycle here in Minneapolis. So our mayor, all of our 13 city council members, and some park board races are up. And so it's very local, you know, it's less intensity than, say, the even year elections when we have federal elections, but we're still involved. And through NACD, we have Make Voting a Tradition, or MBAT. And I was just meeting with Jolene Jones today, who manages our MBAT, and she's kind of our secret weapon in the community, right? I mean, she is connected. And she started planning some candidate forums and sort of for the wards that impact, that have the highest Native populations, like the one where the American Indian Cultural Corridor is located, mayoral forums. We have great partners like the League of Women Voters that help sponsor these. And so we were just kind of outlining what these these CANET forms might look like. But I'll tell you, Haley and Robert, something that's a little different this year, and I had experienced this myself as a candidate when I was on Minneapolis City Council, you know, and so you have these big even year elections where there's a president or lots of statewide offices that are up for election. So there's a lot of resources and intensity, and you activate, you know, new people kind of get involved. And then the next year is the municipal election, which is comparatively sleepier, right? So I get all these really eager, newly engaged, a lot of young people coming to volunteer for my campaigns. Then they would kind of look around like, oh, okay, where's everything else? Where's everyone else? Where are the resources? Say, hey, this is it. Welcome to municipal politics. But I'll say this, with MPET, you can see that national partners, statewide partners, and others have figured out that you need to continue to invest, even in so-called off years. Otherwise, if you just pick it up every even year, you're starting from scratch, and it just takes a lot more to get going. And so we're seeing a lot more interest into continuing to support, make voting a tradition, and I think that's a smart strategy. And at Make Voting a Tradition, we heard the community that said, if you want us to make this a tradition, you need to be here all year round, not mm-hmm. just when there was a campaign. And so we took that to heart, and now you can see kind of the rest of the ecosystem is waking up to that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I was sleepy during those off, quote unquote, off seasons, but it's boots on the ground right now. And forever then on, we see how delicate our democracy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, surprising, right? It only really works if we want it to work, or if enough people are invested in it. And just looking at the community, you know, and so I door knocked, campaigned in our community for a long time, for decades, and it used to be very challenging to get community interest in voting, and it was even hard to get people to walk across the street to their polling place and cast their ballot. And this last fall, I had this experience at Little Earth of United Tribes, a major Native housing community here in Minneapolis. And through Make Voting a Tradition and the engagement with the community there was such enthusiasm. Early voting. There was an early voting day. There were exhibitors set up, community people. It felt like a fair or a festival, you know. And people are shouting to the neighbors, hey, have you voted yet? And they're like, no, I'm going there right now. Mm. And it's just the vibe and the sense of the excitement about voting mm-hmm. was so different than it was even just a few years ago.
Well, we know, too, just nationally how a few thousand votes can affect everything nationally. And so that's exciting to hear. And I'm sure all the local politicians are noticing what's happening in Little Earth and that, and what's going on with make voting a tradition. That's an amazing thing, because that's the way it should be. It should be a national holiday.
I agree. And to your comment about local politicians or even statewide becoming very aware of what we're doing, and they showed up at this early voting event last year. They couldn't, many of them were candidates themselves, and so they couldn't mm-hmm. Campaign at you know, that close to the polls. But right. as you know, there's Cedarfield Park right next to Little Earth, and so they held some impromptu rallies there. But we had our congresswoman Ilhan Omar, we mm-hmm. had one of our state senators, Senator Tina Smith, we had House representatives, we had one of hopeful municipal candidates that were getting an early start on their campaigns, and they came to us. And yeah. I think that's huge, right? We didn't have to go find them. They weren't just there to get our votes, but they were there to establish authentic and sustained relationships with the community.
That's funny you bring up Ilhan, and I remember her being on our show when she first was running. And I think she was running, what, city council first, right?
State legislature.
Right. State legislator. And she appeared not to know too many Native issues. So she was kind of not faking it, but kind of, you could kind of tell. But man, is she really learned a lot over the years and really become a big ally and knows what's going on with her community.
She is very connected to the Native community now. So thanks for noticing that. And I've known her since she worked in City Hall. She worked for a Minneapolis City Council member back in the day. And then she started her political career as a state legislator. But to your point, Robert, I agree so much. And she goes out of her way to connect with the community. And one of the things that I've always been very impressed about Representative Ilhan Omar is that she shows up at community events to be in community. You know, and often I'm helping to either plan them or MC or whatever, and I'll always go up to her and I'll say, Representative Omar, would you like to speak? Would you like to address the crowd, of course? And it's amazing how often she'll say, no, thanks. I'm just here to be with community.
Mm.
And to me, that says something about the quality of person and representative that she is.
Well, being a St. Paul person, we've noticed that, Haley, when we've had the morning get-together around Bede Makaska, she's there, and people really didn't realize that because she is so low-key.
Yeah, way early in the morning, too.
Yeah. Says Gen Z.
Yeah.
We have on Indigenous Peoples Day, we have a sunrise ceremony at Bede Makaska, which is kind of the jewel and the crown of the City of Lakes here. And it is early. I think I know by heart sunrise is at 7:20. So if you want to get decent parking, you got to be there pretty early. So it is early morning, and it's not political, right? It's ceremony.
Right.
And I love how many politicians show up to be there. They're not, their names will get called out or something, but they're not speaking. They're just present. And again, I think that really says something about where we are as a community here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Haley, I heard you were going to go do the early morning swim this next time.
Oh, yeah. With Rachel and a couple of the Lone Tree Ho-Chunks. Yeah, that was so fun. It's like a double ceremony, you know, being with the water and refreshing and then going into ceremony with community. It's, you know, the best of both worlds.
It is. And I always have to time my bathroom break because it's one of those temperatures where an old person really has to worry about that. But yeah, you know, Robert, you're laughing, but I think you know what I mean.
Yep, you sounded like an old man.
Watch your coffee intake, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Soon you'll be wearing those bladder leak.
Yeah. Well, who says I'm not now?
Yeah, sure.
All right. And then, just of course, the other big deal thing going on right now is planning for Indian Month, right?
Yes.
In Minnesota, May is Indian Month. That was an initiative of Ames back in the 1970s, and it started as Indian Week. And it's going into Indian Month. And I will tell you, within the last, you know, maybe 10 years or so, it has just really amped up in activities across the state. In the Twin Cities, there's something, multiple things every day.
Right.
Right. A big kickoff is May 1st, starts at Cedarfield Park at Little Earth, gathering at 9, step off at 10. We've reinstated the float contest just a few years ago, and so a lot of entries there. And we'll march to the Indian Center, which, if you remember last year, that was the Indian Center ribbon cutting.
Yes.
For a remodel. Then we'll go over to Indian Health Board, just east on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, and celebrate. They have a new project that's going in the ground as well.
Yeah.
So lots happening. You can go to NACTI's Facebook page or website. There's links to other events.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah, it's exciting, you know, and I'm winding down my other job, so I got like a month left, but it's really exciting to get full-fledged back into the community here.
Can't wait to see you more. And I'm here in the community all the time, but maybe not having to work quite so much. But you talked about the Native American Community Clinic, which is practically across the street from NACTI. They're groundbreaking. Indian Health Board is groundbreaking. We have the Indian Center. We have probably six major Native developments going on either along the American Indian Cultural Corridor or very close by.
Yeah, wow. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for being on, and maybe I'll see you at that after party.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief, a series of court losses for the Trump administration over its policies on elections, DEI programs and schools. And as CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson explains, immigration.
What we have here is a federal judge saying that there is a real fear of enforcement of this action, that sanctuary cities could potentially lose federal funding.
In an exclusive CBS News interview, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov tells Margaret Brennan when it comes to peace talks with Ukraine.
The president of the United States believes, and I think rightly so, that we are moving in the right direction.
The full interview is on Sunday's Face the Nation. The Highland Park, Illinois, July 4th parade shooter is sentenced to life in prison without parole. Victim's attorney Lance Northcutt.
Today is the end of this part of the journey for the victims, for the families, for those who have been so affected by this.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The NFL Draft is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the draft is going on just outside Lambeau Field. 5 years ago, the Packers selected quarterback Jordan Love out of Utah State in the first round. What was it like getting the call from Green Bay?
You know, it was a total shock. I think going into that year, we had a pretty good feel of what teams were looking to draft quarterbacks. And, you know, once some of those guys with Joe Burrow and Tua and Justin Herbert were taken by some of those teams, it was kind of up in the air, like who might be taking a quarterback next. So, you know, I had to play the sit and wait game for a little bit, and we got down to 26. And I definitely had no idea about the Green Bay Packers. You know, I don't think anybody realized they're going to take a quarterback with having A-Rod still there. But so it was definitely a shock to me, but it was great news.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Giants 6-5. The road trip continues tomorrow night against the Cardinals in St. Louis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for season 2. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season 1. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season 2 will have 12 episodes. The first 3 episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release 3 episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a 4-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have 6 episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers for tonight, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, rain around, tapering in the afternoon, mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Saturday, highs in the low 60s. Then a couple of showers around again on Sunday, mid-60s. Currently 57 degrees.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to look at the NFL draft in Green Bay, some news of the day, and our old friend Peter Rapine with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, I'd like to say that with you at the same time sometime. Honoring health and tradition. Ho-wah. Hey, welcome back, everybody, and Haley, and all our listeners out there, the smoke signals are going through all the lines, and we're getting people listening on Facebook Live. We have to mention that we're on Facebook Live, YouTube, Blue Sky, and even X. I don't know how long we'll stay on X, but
I don't know, man. I don't know. But we appreciate everyone listening, that's for sure.
And put a like on there too somewhere. I know you can like something.
Share it out too while you're at it.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Hey, Friday we talked a little bit about tonight. I just want to mention this again. I'm going to be at the Moon Palace Books in Minneapolis, and we're going to be seeing Mary Annette Creamer, and it's going to be Medicine River, the book, A Story of Survival and the Legacy of Indian Boarding Schools. So that's tonight here, Thursday at 6 p.m. And come on by, bring a mask, you know, because, you know, I'm going to wear one because I'm not that good looking and I also don't want to catch cold.
There are a lot of germs going around right now for some reason. I feel like maybe like half it's mixed with seasonal allergies too, but always good to be safe.
Always, always. Hey, also, Friday, we're going to be doing something with the ground, the moving of the ground at our Native American Community Clinic. But also, there's a Native Nations fashion show that's down at the Intercontinental in downtown St. Paul, Riverfront Great River Ballroom, 11 East Kellogg Boulevard.
That's this Friday. It's going to be from 5 to 11 p.m., so it's kind of an all-evening thing. Get those tickets. I'm not sure how many they have left, if they've sold out, if they ever sell out. I don't know. Well, I know a lot of people go to it.
I saw that like the prime seats or the VIP seats are sold out, but there's still a general admission, so that must mean you have to stand up in the back and watch the fashion show.
Give an elder your chair if they're standing too. I like to do that, but
yeah, definitely.
I don't know if that's cool. This year's theme for the Native Nations Fashion Night is I Am Water. There's going to be a few different artists featuring their work there. I really like what they put there for the theme. They said water has always been a symbol of life, change, and continuity. Perfectly reflecting the strength and adaptability of Native communities as we move forward. Like water, we are ever flowing, capable of navigating obstacles, reshaping our paths, and sustaining future generations.
Yeah, and water is life, and we know that. Just to remind everyone, it's crazy. We started this radio show because of Mini Wichoni, which means water is life, and Standing Rock Reservation, and all the misinformation that was coming through the news, or no information. So that's how Native Roots Radio started.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at the fashion show poster right here. It's a marketplace too. It looks like they're going to have some type of general. Oh, a general entry is 5, and then the show itself starts at 7. Oh, there's a 9:30 p.m. after party, Robert.
Oh, woohoo! We'll have to go.
I know.
All the sports coat on.
Yeah, you can get your tickets still, I think, at evenbright.com or nativenationsfashion.com.
That's cool. I wonder what kind of market they're going to have in there. And that's awesome. And, you know, I can't remember off the top of my head because, you know, I have a good memory, but it's short. But one of the tribes owns the Intercontinental St. Paul.
Yeah, someone was just telling me about that because we went for the Akito Festival. The tattoo festival was there last month. Was that already? But yeah, I don't know who owns it, but I did hear it was Native owned.
Yeah, I'll have to Google it. It's one of the local tribes, which is very cool. What I was going to say too is that place. I remember when years ago, so 50 years ago, 60 years ago, that used to be a Hilton.
Really?
And they had a revolving restaurant on the top floor. So it slowly went around in circles while you were eating, and got to see the city line and the river. It's right next to the river, so it's a beautiful view from way up there on top of the building. So I wonder if they got anything going on up there right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look. Maybe
sneak
next
up there, you mean? We'll sneak up there Friday.
Well, you mentioned NAC, Native American Community Clinics. They have their groundbreaking ceremony for the new clinic on Friday. Dr. Stately was on Monday with us. He was in Ireland. He was talking about the, was it the youth camp? It was the men's youth camp.
Men's, yeah.
Yeah, the men's
one. That was very cool.
And they did a buffalo hunt, a traditional one. I think it was with some members of the Cheyenne River. And he was talking about how they harvested the buffalo. Or I guess we should be calling it a bison, right? North American bison.
And the heart.
Yeah, they harvested the heart, and they're going to plant the heart at the base of where they're building the new clinic. And that's like their offering to the land.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
Beautiful. They got it going on there. And you know, we know Dr. Stately really well, so he has, like me, a great staff of people that are doing things, and he's got
I got them. That after you
yeah
I'm like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, bingo. But yeah, so what else is going on here? We're well, again, I want to talk about the Code Talkers if we can on Saturday. That's coming up. So that I'm getting more and more information about that as from my other job, but it sounds like it's going to be a really big thing down there in La Crosse.
Yeah, really important recognition that they're doing for the Ho-Chunk Nation World War II Code Talkers. It's going to be the highway dedication for them. It's going to be this Saturday, April 26th at the Wisconsin Welcome Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin, bright and early. So if you're coming from the Twin Cities, it's going to be starting at 10 a.m., and it'll be about an hour and 15 minutes long. They're going to be honoring those veterans that will be on the plaque. I think, I don't know if all their names are going to be on the plaque. I know that it will be in the English and Ho-Chunk language, though, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. Also, I do believe that the 27th annual Spring Powwow, hosted by University of Minnesota American Indian Student Cultural Center, is going to be happening, and I love going to that. Oh, that's a really busy poster there that you just popped up. Holy mackerel.
27th annual. Wow, they've been doing this one for quite a bit. This is University of Minnesota's American Indian Student Cultural Center. It's going to be at Maturi Pavilion, 1925 University Avenue, Southeast Minneapolis, on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Grand entry times are 1 and 7. And check out AISCC.UMN on Instagram. Give them a follow and keep up to date with all the stuff that they're doing with the American Indian Student Cultural Center at the U.
Yeah.
That looks like a good one. I know a lot of people are going to be in town and heading over to Maturi Pavilion for that.
Yeah, I know. I've made this over the years, and it's very cool. I want to get more involved with this group, too, being a University of Minnesota alumni myself.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Good job, Dega. Yeah, we both we both are Golden Gopher alumni.
Gophers. I say that.
Golden
Gopher.
Yeah.
Or even, I guess, a Wisconsinite, they talk like that too.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really get too involved with my culture as much. Well, I guess I started when I was in college, but I wish I had known about this the American Indian Student Cultural Center. When I was there, seems like a great group. Is this the same group that does the round dance?
Yeah, I do believe so. I'm 99% sure. That's a good question, and I don't have that in my notes. But it is. I'm pretty sure it is. And that round dance, did you go to that this last year?
It was at like a museum or something.
Yeah.
Not a museum or... No, it was. I can't remember. I have to look it up. But no, I remember that we did a round dance. Senator Mary Kunish was there. Oh, it was at the Bell Museum.
Yeah. They have it at different places, and they do too with this powwow. I've been at this big old armory too on the campus too. So yeah, this is pretty
That'd be cool awesome. To go back to this one and walk the campus like back in our days.
Oh my God, I need
Does that scare you?
No, I need a heavy backpack walking around fast, because I was late. Because when I went again, I was still working. I was still teaching full time, and I went back to get my degree.
Oh, that's right.
And so I'd leave right after work and get it, try and find a parking place and walk. And now there's less parking at the U, which is even crazier.
They have those electric scooters, though, just randomly on the sidewalk, so you can hook.
Yeah, they didn't have those then. I was really looking to buy one of those folding bikes and just get in that.
They do have a lot of great access for.
A lot of times I had to go over to Dinkytown to get over to the main campus. Mm-hmm. That's a long walk anyways.
Yeah. And don't even get me started on that commute to the St. Paul campus from Minneapolis.
We know you don't have that freeway. No. Oh, yeah, the St. Paul campus, that's a little easier. You can go through the fairgrounds on that from my house, at least.
Closer, for sure. Well, I want to mention this, too, before we run out of time. This is a little bit for our northern friends. If you're out of the Twin Cities area this weekend, on Saturday, April 26th, I know the Mille Lacs Indian Museum is having a free day. They will not be charging admission on Saturday. The museum that we're talking about, the Mille Lacs Indian Museum, is across from the Grand Casino Mille Lacs, and the address is 43411 Udina Drive. Onamia, Minnesota.
Yeah. That's cool. We know as Native Americans out there that we love free stuff. So get up there and check out the museum and see if they'll give you a free t-shirt.
Oh, is right. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. So check it out if you're in the Twin Cities. The new Native Theater is still going on.
Oh,
Saturday,
yeah.
Saturday and Sunday.
Check it out. And you know what the message I got from leadership over at New Native Theater, even if they say it's sold out, bring a chair and they'll find a place for you. Really,
bring your powwow chair and your powwow blanket if you have it.
Right, so no one steals your chair. Put that blanket on there and scoop up a whole front row too for your family. Or in case they come. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we're talking with Wendy, and Wendy's got a report on the animal, our sacred animal section. Oh, wow.
Sure does. It's a good one.
We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Mocoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
Now showing at MIA. Artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on the Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work and see how her art challenges traditional ideas of Native and modern art. Only at MIA and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, previously known as the Humane Society of the United States. Yes, they have changed their name. I'm happy that they did that. Anyway, I have some animal facts here. I'm going to try to get through it. I have a cold right now and I have a bad cough. So let's see if I can get through this without coughing. Haley, you sent me a little snippet here about a cougar. So Minneapolis residents raise money to taxidermy a cougar who went viral prowling their neighborhood. So here we go. The Star Tribune, a cougar that had quite the following as it roamed a Minneapolis neighborhood in 2013 until it was killed while crossing a freeway, is having a homecoming of sorts. Taxidermist Meadow Jean Colefield spent a better part of the last 16 months putting the two-year-old male cougar back together at her home in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. She will present her work and speak during a reception at Kenwood Community Center. Eventually, the animal will be part of an educational program. Now, you know, when I first read this, I wasn't really sure how to feel about this. So this cougar that was really well known in the community and people saw it and respected it and watched it and, you know, kind of loved it. And then it got killed on the highway. You know, for me, I'm not sure. I'd like to know how other people feel. Like, do you think that this beautiful animal should be stuffed and put out there in, you know, for education purposes? Or do you think that it should be respectfully, you know, just like buried maybe in a ceremony and whatever? Not really sure how I feel about this. I am leaning towards I'm not happy that they are stuffing this animal. But, you know, okay. That it is what it is, right? Okay, next. This is from One Green Planet. Iceland's biggest whaling company cancels whale hunt for 2025. This is really good news. In a rare win for whales, Iceland's largest commercial whaling company has announced it will not hunt fin whales during the summer of 2025. The decision follows years of controversy, global criticism, and a shrinking market for whale meat in Japan, where the company reports nearly all of its catch. According to the company's CEO, they told Iceland's media outlet that low prices in Japan have made whaling economically unviable this year. The Japanese market has long struggled with failing demand and oversupply of imported whale meat, leading to stockpiles that remain unsold. So this is good news. Although they're still going to be whale hunting, but they're just not going to be hunting fin whales. So there's other types of whales that they will be doing. This story I love, it's been coming up, I don't know why, on my social media feed. I've seen it already a couple of times, but it's always a really good reminder of how we need our wolves. So in 1995, wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone National Park after being eradicated from the area nearly 100 years prior. I think I read somewhere that 1920 was the last wolf that they killed. So they caused them to be extinct there in the area. And most of it was because of ranchers. Ranchers had their cattle and they, you know, of course, you know, they think that the wolves are killing all their cattle. So they killed all the wolves. But anyway, this reintroduction aimed to restore a keystone predator to the ecosystem, which had been altered by the wolves' absence. The wolves captured from Canada were initially released into assimilation pens before being released into the park. The reintroduction led to significant changes in the park's ecosystem, including a shift in elk behavior and recovery of plant life. So here's some more information on it. The wolves were systematically removed from Yellowstone in the early 1900s due to concerns about livestock predation. However, the absence of this apex predator led to an overabundance of elk, which negatively impacted the park's vegetation and other wildlife. I read somewhere that there were like 16,000 elk and deer, and they were just like trampling the vegetation, you know, so nothing was growing. And the elk and the deer, instead of like going, you know, inside the forest and hiding out, were out in the open and just trampling everything. So, you know, brush and bushes and trees and all this vegetation. And plus, what they would do is they would reach up and they would eat all the leaves off the trees. So there was nothing growing. And it was terrible. So this is the reintroduction process. In 1995, 14 wolves were captured in Alberta, Canada, and brought to Yellowstone. These wolves were kept in the pens for several months to help them adapt to their new environment. More wolves were released in 1996, bringing the total number of reintroductions to 31. So there were 31 wolves. Now here's where it really gets interesting. It's called the trophic cascade. I love this. The reintroduction of wolves triggered a trophic cascade, meaning changes at the top of the food web. Wolves impacted the entire ecosystem. Elk populations decreased as wolves began hunting them. This allowed for the recovery of plant life, particularly willows and aspens, which had been heavily damaged by the elk. The mere presence of the wolves had a profound impact on elk behavior. The elk became more cautious and avoided areas where they were more vulnerable to predation, like river valleys. The reintroduction of the wolves led to a more balanced and diverse ecosystem in Yellowstone. Plant life recovered, and other wildlife like beavers and birds benefited from the changes. So after the elk, there were less of them. They would go into the forest and hide out because, you know, the wolves were hunting them. In the meantime, all the vegetation would grow. So the plants would grow, berries would grow on the bushes. So that made the bears come back because there were no, you know, berries for the bears to eat. And then the trees would grow. So in that case, then all birds came back to the area. Now, all the trees and everything that were in this area started growing and the roots were in the ground. And what happened was it started helping the rivers be more stable. The rivers were stable. It created pools. So like the fish would come, beavers came, they built dams. And it really, after all this time, really became a Garden of Eden. So I love this story. There is a video. It's called How Wolves Change Rivers. And it's a guy with an English accent, and he narrates it. And if you ever get a chance, you should watch it. First of all, it's beautiful, the video, visually. And then just listening to this guy's voice is really something. It's really quite nice. But anyway, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Back to you, Haley. Back to you, Robert.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll see you Monday.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Civic Media.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New research from Stanford says the U.S. will hit millions of measles cases over the next 25 years if vaccine rates drop just 10%. CBS's Matt Piper.
At current state-level vaccination rates, their model predicts that measles could become entrenched, resulting in what the researchers say would be hundreds of thousands of cases where deaths are commonplace.
In Vatican City, more than 90,000 people have paid their respects to the late Pope Francis at St. Peter's Basilica, including the pontiff's relatives and this man.
He looked very tranquil and peaceful.
The funeral is scheduled for Saturday. President Trump blasts Russia for launching an attack on Kyiv, killing at least a dozen people.
I didn't like last night. I wasn't happy with it. And we're in the midst of talking peace and missiles were fired.
Trump says he believes Russia wants peace despite Moscow's continued assaults on Ukraine. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here.